Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Hello and welcome to Wild World. What would you do if you were thousands of miles from help and a group of hungry polar bears decided to surround you? That's exactly what happened to my guest, Ivan. Ivan, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, tell us what you do.
I'm a climatologist, and my specialty is Arctic ice. I was on a project on an island in the Arctic Circle, looking into the reasons for the decline in ice in recent years. It used to be impossible to travel by ship in many areas during the winter, but now you can. By tracking the levels of ice formation, I hope to be able to provide useful data that will help me and my colleagues find solutions to the problem.
Why is it such a problem? If it opens up travel routes, is that not potentially a good thing?
That in itself may sound like a benefit, and in a small way it may increase trade or travel opportunities, but the disadvantages far outweigh anything like that. Let me just give you a couple. One is that the ice plays an important role in regulating the Earth's temperature. This is partly because it reflects some of the sun's rays back out into space. The melting of the ice leads to warmer seas, which actually influences the weather around the world. Ocean currents change, and so do weather patterns. So, while it may sound like it's happening in a remote area, it can have very real, everyday effects on a lot of people.
And what was the second major disadvantage?
A large number of people and animals rely on the sea ice to survive. Hunters, by which I mean both people and predators, such as polar bears, find it much more difficult to catch their prey with less ice. An important technique that polar bears use, for instance, is to silently swim up to seals that are resting on the ice. Less ice means that there are fewer opportunities for that.
And that leads to the kind of situation you found yourself in. Tell us a bit about that.
That's right. Imagine a group of scientists in a hut miles from anywhere, quietly doing their research, when a group of 10 starving bears decides to surround the hut. What people often don't realize about polar bears is that they may look cute, but they are in fact extremely aggressive. Attacks are rare because the area they live in is very large, so they rarely encounter humans. But when they do, they see them as prey, so their natural instinct is to attack.
How would you usually avoid that kind of thing?
We normally have flares, which are like fireworks. We fire those to frighten the bears away, but this time we had run out of them. so we had no option but to stay in the hut and wait for rescue.
It must have been quite frightening.
The kind of research station we were living in is very well stocked. Typically, there's enough food and water to survive around a year. We do that in case of any emergency. That means that supply ships can't reach the station. So we knew we just had to wait. But it meant that we weren't able to do any of the science we had planned, and we just had to sit and wait. The boredom was probably the most difficult aspect.
Finally, do you have any advice for our listeners on what to do if you suddenly find yourself face to face with a polar bear on the Arctic ice?
If you really can't avoid the situation, then the best protection is to be prepared. Never go into areas where there may be polar bears without flares. And if you're camping, put an electric fence up around your camp. That will usually deter bears.
Ivan, thank you for talking to us today.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now, you will hear the text again.
Hello and welcome to Wild World. What would you do if you were thousands of miles from help and a group of hungry polar bears decided to surround you? That's exactly what happened to my guest, Ivan. Ivan, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, tell us what you do.
I'm a climatologist, and my specialty is Arctic ice. I was on a project on an island in the Arctic Circle, looking into the reasons for the decline in ice in recent years. It used to be impossible to travel by ship in many areas during the winter, but now you can. By tracking the levels of ice formation, I hope to be able to provide useful data that will help me and my colleagues find solutions to the problem.
Why is it such a problem? If it opens up travel routes, is that not potentially a good thing?
That in itself may sound like a benefit, and in a small way it may increase trade or travel opportunities, but the disadvantages far outweigh anything like that. Let me just give you a couple. One is that the ice plays an important role in regulating the Earth's temperature. This is partly because it reflects some of the sun's rays back out into space. The melting of the ice leads to warmer seas, which actually influences the weather around the world. Ocean currents change, and so do weather patterns. So, while it may sound like it's happening in a remote area, it can have very real everyday effects on a lot of people.
And what was the second major disadvantage?
A large number of people and animals rely on the sea ice to survive. Hunters, by which I mean both people and predators, such as polar bears, find it much more difficult to catch their prey with less ice. An important technique that polar bears use, for instance, is to silently swim up to seals that are resting on the ice. Less ice means that there are fewer opportunities for that.
And that leads to the kind of situation you found yourself in. Tell us a bit about that.
That's right. Imagine a group of scientists in a hut miles from anywhere, quietly doing their research, when a group of 10 starving bears decides to surround the hut. What people often don't realize about polar bears is that they may look cute, but they are in fact extremely aggressive. Attacks are rare because the area they live in is very large, so they rarely encounter humans. But when they do, they see them as prey, so their natural instinct is to attack.
How would you usually avoid that kind of thing?
We normally have flares, which are like fireworks. We fire those to frighten the bears away, but this time we had run out of them. So we had no option but to stay in the hut and wait for rescue.
It must have been quite frightening.
The kind of research station we were living in is very well stocked. Typically, there's enough food and water to survive around a year. We do that in case of any emergency that means that supply ships can't reach the station. So we knew we just had to wait, but it meant that we weren't able to do any of the science we had planned, and we just had to sit and wait. The boredom was probably the most difficult aspect.
Finally, do you have any advice for our listeners on what to do if you suddenly find yourself face to face with a polar bear on the Arctic ice?
If you really can't avoid the situation, then the best protection is to be prepared. Never go into areas where there may be polar bears without flares. And if you're camping, put an electric fence up around your camp. That will usually deter bears.
Ivan, thank you for talking to us today.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.